Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Good morning. It is Monday, January 20th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan Memorial Hospital physicians at Same Day Health and Imaging, Dr. David Nickerson and Dr. Christopher Pryor. Good morning, doctors, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've had both of you on here separately in the past. I can't remember exactly if you're both general medicine. I know you, a veteran, you actually may have been in Iraq the same time I was, which is absolutely fascinating. You don't meet too many individuals like that. So I'll start over here, Doc. What is your, I guess you could say, specialty if you have one?
All right. Well, I did a residency in family medicine, and then I did a fellowship in primary care sports medicine. So non-operative sports medicine. And when I got out of the Army, I ran a bunch of urgent cares down in Colorado before I came up to Wyoming. Initially, I came up to Wyoming and worked at the VA for about 6 years. And then I came over to Memorial about 6 years ago. When I was at the VA, I'd say it was predominantly internal medicine. And then when I came over to Memorial, I came a very complex medical panel. And then now we're at Same Day Health.
Doc?
Yes, well, my background's in emergency medicine, and I worked here in the ER at the hospital for about the first 6 years or so of coming back here after finishing my training, and then I've been in the urgent care, the hospital's urgent care, for the past 6 years.
When it comes to, like, emergency care, there's a difference between urgent and emergent, correct?
Yes.
Can you just tell me where that line is?
Sure. Well, there can be plenty of overlap in kind of the gray area between those two. And then there's also things where it's very clearly a case that needs to be in the emergency room. So, for instance, anything that might look like a heart attack, a stroke, severe illnesses where people's blood pressure is really low, new neurological changes that could be a stroke, any of those things are things that very clearly need to be in the emergency room. At the same time, oftentimes in the emergency room, there are things that are, need to be taken care of right now, but are not things that are a life-threatening emergency. Things like illnesses, minor fractures, cuts, abscesses, things like that. And a lot of those are a better fit for an urgent care or urgent care services like we provide at Same Day Health and Imaging.
Now, both of you are very used to the and trained within the trauma type of care, emergency and obviously battlefield. When you two sit and talk, is that a primary subject that you talk about and debate different types of trauma that you can treat or anything like that? I mean, the conversation between two fantastic professionals, I'm just curious about. What is that like?
Well, if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and get started. I mean, I think you brought up my experience in the battlefield. I mean, I deployed to Iraq twice. And by far, what we see there, when I compare myself to the emergency medicine department that we have here in Sheridan Memorial and people that did emergency medicine residencies, mine was very strong. My quote-unquote residency or my time deployed in Iraq was very heavy in penetrating trauma, which predominantly what you're going to see in the emergency department here and most other places in the United States is non-penetrating trauma. So in the Army, I think the emergency department, we do, especially in the battlefield, the emergency medicine providers are more resuscitation providers. We resuscitate people and keep them alive until the surgeons can complete their care. And I think that's kind of a misnomer when I say, yeah, I was a trauma doctor, but we didn't see everything was penetrating, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So
patched him up to get him somewhere else safely.
Yeah, stop the bleeding and get him to definitive care.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's definitely jives with what I've seen working in the emergency room here. In terms of penetrating trauma, what Dr. Pryor is referring to is mostly gunshot wounds or injuries from explosions, shrapnel, all of that. Whereas opposed to what we typically see in the emergency room here is definitely more weighted towards what you would call blunt trauma. So things like car accidents, crush injuries, things like that. It doesn't mean that you don't have the occasional gunshot wound here, mm-hmm. and you have to be prepared for all of those things. But absolutely, the trend is much more towards blunt trauma than the penetrating trauma.
Now, Doc, how long have you been with Sheridan Memorial Hospital?
Since 2013.
Since 2013. Now, where did you grow up? Where are you a local boy?
I am. I grew up here in Bighorn and then went away to school, and I ended up attending the University of Washington School of Medicine for medical school, and then did my emergency medicine training in Arkansas before coming back here when I finished.
What led you on this path, or what started you on this path?
Well, I guess I grew up in the hospital quite a bit. My father was an orthopedic surgeon here for a long time, and he and my mom still live in the area. I have a lot of memories of being younger and going with him on weekends to go round on his patients in the hospital, and he would usually take my brothers and me and dump us off in the surgeon's lounge where we'd watch cartoons for a while. Yeah. It was always kind of amusing when surgeons would come in between things. They'd come in to find these kids watching watching cartoons. But yeah, I had a lot of time with that. That was something I was always interested in. One interesting thing about Dr. Pryor and myself is we both studied geology in college.
Oh, wow.
I was not looking at doing medicine. But as I moved through that and got into graduate school in geology, I started thinking more about what I could do in the world to make a difference. And mm-hmm. I had a big family history of lots of people in my family practicing medicine. And that was something that was always interesting to me.
Wow. A bit of a legacy.
I guess so. Although I didn't initially intend to go out and do that, but it just kind of called me back to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Dr. Pryor, I mean, what led you down the medicine route as opposed to, gosh, there's so many other possibilities you could.
Well, I think probably the biggest influence is probably my mother. I mean, she was a nurse, and we had a family business. My oldest brother had a landscaping business, and unfortunately, people get hurt, get cut, you know, landscaping, and always wanted to be able to take care of my whole family if something were to happen. And then we talked about the experience in the Army. I mean, that's what was. And a blessing in medicine that we found a community that really wanting to help people, wanting to do the best for them. And I found that when I was in the Army, and I found that in the medical community here in Sheridan County. So I think that's pretty much what brought us here. And what Dave and I usually talk about, I think, unlike the trauma stuff, I think we end up talking a lot about how, from an emergency perspective, how Dave may handle something, and from a more of a primary care standpoint, how I may handle something. And we've learned a lot from each other. A lot of it has to do with practice styles, but yeah. A lot of it also has to do with outcomes. And I've really enjoyed that camaraderie. And I think that's what a lot of the providers practice in Sheridan County for, is because of that.
I think that's fantastic. You know, the camaraderie thing, so important, especially in your line of work, being able to go to, you know, kind of an equal on either end and say, what do you think? But at the same time, being able to say, look at this cool rock I found.
I guess so. We haven't got to talk about that as much. Yeah. Been too busy, I guess.
Bob Grammons, the general manager here at the radio station, he's a rock hound. And boy, it's always fun to go up there and just start talking rocks. You can find yourself in that room for 45 minutes before you know it.
I'm telling you, over at the college, they have an incredible collection at Sheridan College, and I don't think a lot of people know about that.
Yeah.
The paleontology that's there is amazing.
Now, when it comes to same-day health and imaging, what exactly is this? Dr. Pryor, I'll start with you, and then I would love to learn how the two of you came together. I don't know if either one of you founded this or not, or if somebody said, you know what, we just need two of the best in there. So, Doc Pryor, what is this place?
I think it was more of an evolution of kind of what was needed in Sheridan County. Let's go back to a little bit of, most people used to think you had primary care doctors, and then you had urgent care doctors, and then you had the emergency department. And urgent care has really evolved out of the wait times out of the emergency department and the high copays with the emergency department. Nowadays, you'll have some of the bigger medical corporations are going to same-day care. And that's filling a void that both helps the patients what they want and then also helps expedite their care. Unfortunately, with urgent cares, there can be extended wait times. And with the same day care, we can set up appointments. We can move people through the clinic fairly quickly. And then we have the ancillary services, the lab, the imaging, readily available. And offsets some of the delays that we see both in the emergency department and in their primary care office, as well as the imaging and lab. So we found that it makes the care more efficient. So I think that's kind of the evolution. And you're going to start seeing more and more of that same-day care, what fits that voids when a person gets discharged from the hospital, may not be able to get in to see their primary care provider, or the person calls their primary care provider, and their appointments are full, but they need to be seen, or that primary care provider may not be comfortable sending them home or seeing them in a couple of days. So they say, I go to the same-day care and get checked out there, and then they can make a follow-up appointment with them. And it's been really great. Like I talked about the camaraderie and the providers in both the Sheridan Memorial and Sheridan County, that I've been able to communicate with them and really keep them abreast of everything that we're doing with their patients. And this where there's no gap in care. That's how it makes it more efficient. And I think that's what's really evolved into this same-day care clinic.
And it's what a fantastic practice. I mean, if as Dr. Pryor was talking about, if I need to see someone today, you know, I can guarantee if I call my doctor, I'm not going to be able to get in there for quite some time. So I can just pop in. Is this a bit of a walk-in service, or do I need to make an appointment?
Absolutely. So we try to make things as convenient as possible for people. So to that end, there are walk-in appointments. You can show up anytime that we're open, and we will get people worked in and taken care of. In addition, to try to give people who have some more time commitments a little bit more of something to depend on, we also have scheduled appointments. So people can go to our website, which is SheridanSameDay.com, and you can make an appointment there online for our clinic services. So you could also know what time you need to go there. In addition, we also do telemedicine appointments.
Oh, wow.
For instance, let's say that you had a rash you were really concerned about, but you have a really busy day here at the station and you're just not able to leave to go somewhere. Well, you could set up one of those appointments for your lunch hour and be able to do that right here from your desk without having to go anywhere else. And if you need a prescription, we could send that into whatever pharmacy you needed.
Oh, that's fantastic, because there are certain scenarios and illnesses that can be handled over telehealth, as opposed to I got to come in, I got to fill up paperwork and wait around. And I could just call you up. You can take a look at it and say, I know what that is just by looking at it, run down, pick one of these up.
Absolutely. And occasionally there's, you know, something where it does look like it's something we need to take a look at in the clinic. And if that's the case, we can just roll that over to an inpatient visit without somebody getting an additional charge, sorry, an in-clinic visit instead. And people don't really need to worry about a whole bunch of, is this something appropriate that I could do telehealth versus, you know, having to be seen in the clinic? If there's any question about that, if you just make that appointment, we can take a look at things, and if it can be taken care of just like that, we'll do it. And if we need to do any additional testing or see somebody in the clinic, we can certainly do that with, you know, no additional visit cost for them.
Where is Same Day located?
So Same Day Health is located between Wild Vision and the Pack and Mail on Sugarland Drive. So if you were headed south here towards Walmart, you would see that on the right just before you get there.
And is it kind of a smaller building, or is it?
It's a fairly large building, and there's some signage that is right in front of it, as well as some big white flags that are out front to help mark it right now while we're newly opened.
Now, when it comes to the types of services that are offered, is there just like a wide array? We can't even get into the long list, or is there a limitation there where you would then say, hey, you know what, let's go ahead and send you up the road to a specialist?
As far as things that we can see there, or what services we have? Yeah, so the really nice thing about working with Dr. Pryor and having me there as well is that, you know, we both have good experience in terms of what can be taken care of in a clinic, what needs to be seen in an emergency room, what potentially means that somebody needs to be in the hospital. And so we do have a process where we make sure that we're safely taking care of everybody for what they're there for. For instance, if we do find that somebody has has something where they need to be seen in the emergency room, we can, you know, make some arrangements for that and notify the emergency room for that. If there are people that need to be referred to other specialists, we also have good ways to set that up. And we are within the Sheridan Memorial Hospital system, so anything that we do is visible in the patient's chart to anybody else, and we also have access to all those other services at the hospital.
And Dr. Pryor, I got to take a commercial break, but before I go, let's talk about that computer system just real quick. The convenience for doctors of this thing. I mean, what is this like to work with? This big, I'm sure it's got its own name, but it's essentially a computer system where you all share the same information, and it is completely secure. But if I go see a different doctor, all they have to do is access this and they can see my history, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so it's an electronic medical record, and ours, we could take pictures, for instance, if it's a rash, it's a wound, if it's a skin lesion, and we could send that to their primary care provider so they could see the evolution of it. We could send it to a dermatologist, or even our images. We could send our images to orthopedics to be evaluated, and our radiology department at the hospital has been awesome as far as helping us if we have any questions about any imaging. It's really been a pleasure.
How incredible is that now? I mean, with the touch of a button, you can get all of my information instead of having to sit down with the old paper files and go through things and maybe this was put in, maybe it wasn't type of deal.
And that's really what I enjoy where I am now, is I can communicate easily with their primary care provider and give them a heads up. Hey, this is what I was thinking at this time when I saw them, and this is what I think needs to be followed up on. And it's really made their care more, patient's care more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as a primary care provider, if I were to receive a note like that, I'd be thrilled. I'm like, okay, they took care of that problem. I could see them in 2 weeks. Or, hey, no, Dr. Pryor wants me to see this by sooner than later, so I should get them in sooner. And it's really been great.
Modern technology. All right, we're going to have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan. Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, I'm speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital physicians at Same Day Health and Imaging, Dr. David Nickerson and Dr. Christopher Pryor. Docs, I'll let whoever wants to take this next question, but when is quote unquote flu season?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So we are definitely in flu season right now. Around here in our community, it seems like the highest number of visits that we see for people who are sick with cold and flu is, you know, typically from maybe the very end of November to about March. There is some variability each year. Usually the most intense portion of that is kind of January, February, March.
Is there a particular reason why there's a season in the nation? I mean, we always hear it on the news. We always see it on TV. What causes a season of flu?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest things are just some environmental factors. You know, during colder times, the virus can last a little bit longer, but at the same time, colder times are also times when the air is drier inside homes. Sometimes that leads to cracking in the nose and maybe easier entry of viruses. That's not completely understood. But the big thing is that we just spend a lot of time together in close quarters, gathered up with everybody, and that's just an easy way to pass it along.
Yep. Less kids outside running around. Now, that's actually really good reasoning behind all that. We're all gathered together around the fire. What are some of the most common types of visits that you're seeing at Same Day right now in regards to illnesses or maybe even injuries? I'm sure with the ice outside, we've seen a few falls.
Yeah, I'd say right now, I mean, the three big ones we got: influenza, COVID, and norovirus. I mean, those are pretty common. We have the slips on ice, a number of those, and some have been pretty traumatic too. I'd say those are by far the biggest what we're seeing right now.
Now, when it comes to COVID, they told us back in the day, you know, this is going to become much like the common cold. It's going to have a season. It's going to kind of come through. I don't want to cause any kind of panic on any level, but I mean, there is COVID around, and like they were saying, it's become more like this is a cold.
I would say so. I mean, you know, influenza is also a virus that can be fairly severe for some people, and there are severe cases of. And in a lot of ways, COVID looks more like that now. The symptoms are fairly similar, and occasionally some people do end up in the hospital or with complications, and those can, unfortunately, sometimes be really severe. But as far as seasonality, you know, I would imagine that COVID will eventually have more just a single season, but it seems like with how quickly it mutates that it tends to have more like waves that continue somewhat throughout the year. But certainly this time of the year in cold and flu season is a time when it's particularly prevalent.
Now that brings up another great question. Does same day offer immunizations? Can I pop in there and get a couple shots?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And some of those people that have other comorbid diseases, you know, certainly the vaccination for influenza and COVID, I certainly recommend those. But again, the COVID, if you look at the CDC website now, the quarantine is if you have a fever, don't go around other people. But otherwise, you're not locked up for 5 to 10 days the way you used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's if you got a fever, we would all appreciate if you don't come around anyway.
Well, it's similar to the influenza. So
yeah.
Or any of the other viruses.
Yeah, kind of no matter what it is, you got a fever, stay home. That's a good reason. Now, are we seeing a lot of youth at same day? Is this a great place to take our kids down there and just kind of get them checked out?
Absolutely. Yeah, but, you know, we do see plenty of children there. Everybody there is, you know, is trained to take care of pediatric patients as well. If there are more specific or more complicated concerns, we have real good communication with the pediatricians and are able to get in touch with them and get additional expert advice if we need.
Dr. Pryor, can I pop in for a physical up at same day, or is that something different?
So we do schedule appointments, and for something like a physical, I'd recommend trying to get an appointment for that. If you have more of an acute incident than illness or injury, then those you can just walk right in for.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. And when it comes to the common illnesses, and this may even be a debate, two different answers on this. When do I say, I'm going to tough this out at home, I'm fine? Because that's me. Anything to prevent me from having to go into a hospital, as opposed to, you know what, I should go see somebody and see what's going on. Is there a line that you recommend?
Well, I think a lot of that is kind of up to the individual person. On one hand, with some illnesses, say influenza, that's something where if you find out that you have influenza A or B, you can get started on antiviral medicine against that, but it has to be within the first 48 hours, the first 2 days to make a difference.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's something similar about medication for COVID that has to get started within the first 5 days. So on one hand, sometimes going in real early can have benefits to some of those things, in addition to hopefully getting you feeling better and having you not feel so badly for so long. On the other hand, most cold viruses and even influenza and even COVID will typically be able to resolve on their own. And some people like to err a little bit more on the side of saying, well, I'm not feeling like I'm in severe distress. I'm not concerned that I'm going to have worse things going on right now. I'd rather take over-the-counter medicines and watch things for a little bit longer. The other place where there is maybe some thinking to do about it is for somebody who's been sick for a longer period of time, more than a week, maybe 10 days, and especially if they're starting to have more sinus pain or ear pain. If it's been 10 days and you're having those kinds of symptoms, that's an indication that you might have something that's developed as a complication of having the cold. Now you may have a sinus infection or ear infection that might need antibiotics. The same thing for worsening cough or if someone's having shortness of breath. Those are all reasons to definitely come in if it's been that long.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
At the same time, we don't discourage anybody from coming in, and there are things that I can do to get anybody feeling better, regardless of where they are within their illness.
And like you said, at least kind of speed up the healing process. Maybe I won't be down as long, which a lot of us feel, Once I'm down, boy, it's pretty hard for a while, but I like to get over that stuff as fast as I can. I'm not a big guy at staying home.
We do have a lot of people that do come in just to get checked out. For instance, they're getting ready to have a surgery and they want to make sure that the surgery isn't delayed because they may have influenza or COVID or some other bacterial infection. So they'll come in and get checked out for that. And a lot of times we also see it for they're getting ready to travel. But Floyd, I thought you were comfortable with me and you should only get nervous and afraid to see me when I put the rubber glove on. I mean, yeah. When I do that, then I could see you getting a little worried. But until then, you're okay.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the glove comes out. We're gonna have a little talk. But now, is there a prescription that really kind of helps out with these viral infections a little bit more than others that I can pick up from you if I need it?
I think hydration, sleep, and vitamin C would be the strongest protection against the common cold. Vaccination for influenza and COVID, should you have some of those other comorbid diseases and make it more severe, asthma, COPD, hypertension, coronary artery disease, those would be reasons that you should think about getting those shots beforehand.
Yeah.
I think those are kind of the big ones.
Yeah. You know, as far as prescription things, there are some specific illnesses, like we mentioned, influenza or COVID, where there are specific antiviral medicines against them that would help you. But for most things, like Dr. Pryor mentioned, just good hydration, taking Tylenol or ibuprofen as you need for any aches or pains, vitamin C, and then any of the cold and flu formulations, things like Dayquil, Theraflu, Alka-Seltzer, cold and flu, all of those have medications in them that will typically help you feel better sooner. They additionally have some medicine in there that helps thin out your secretions and might potentially be able to help drain the mucus that's building up in your sinuses in your ears and maybe prevent you from ending up with a sinus infection or ear infection later.
Is that kind of like, what do they call that? The Mucinex stuff kind of breaks up the phlegm and just kind of lets it get out of there?
Absolutely. Yes. That guaifenesin ingredient that's in Mucinex
is
the same one that I was talking about. And that does help clear that stuff out of there.
What other kind of health issues are appropriate for individuals to bring to same day? I mean, this isn't an urgent care, right? Or is it?
It truly is an urgent care, but with the addition of some additional primary care that Dr. Pryor does as well.
Okay, so it's a bit of a mix. Sprains.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I look at more as we do the urgent care, but we do have the services do a little more prolonged care that perhaps the traditional urgent care wasn't able to do. So I think that's one of the things. And then again, we have x-ray, we have mammogram, we have bone density testing, and then we have full service lab as well. So it's nice to have all those things under one roof. And particularly when we're doing a preoperative evaluation or we have a person that we're concerned that we may need to send to the emergency department, we can make that definitive determination right there. We mm-hmm. don't have to send them to different parts of the hospital or different parts of town to get those studies done.
The philosophy, or I don't know if you could say the formatting or the makeup of Sheridan Memorial Hospitals really evolved over the past decade. You're not going to just the hospital anymore. We've got the clinic downtown. We've got same day. We've got these different locations that I can go to for kind of the everyday typical stuff that happens to all of us. Get the kid out, checked out here. If something happens on the soccer field, I can run over there. So is Sheridan Memorial Hospital the main facility, kind of becoming the spot where we send you if we need specialist work, or are they kind of remote as well? Because I know there's a lot of specialists out there who have their own kind of remote areas.
I think one of the special things about our hospital is because Wyoming is rural enough, it does end up having a few more services than you might expect for a town this size if it were located in a different, more populous state. And definitely our hospital has quite a few of those specialty services, which is great. I think some of the spreading out of the hospital system across town is more just for patient convenience as well as having space to grow in. And the specific idea about same-day health and imaging being down on the south end of town is we've spent a lot of time talking about the clinic so far, but there's quite a bit of other services there as well. For instance, it does have the same outpatient lab draw services that you would get up at the hospital. So if your doctor puts in orders for you to have labs drawn, you could have that done up at the hospital. Or let's say you live on the south end of town, or it's more convenient to come down, to the south end, you could go have that done there as well. The same thing with any x-rays. We perform quite a few x-rays of our patients in the clinics, but somebody else with an order for an x-ray through their physician could be coming in to get that done there as well. And then additionally, if they have an order for a bone scan, a DEXA scan, that's something that we do there as well. And then there's also mammography, which can even be done as a walk-in without a physician order.
Well, that's fantastic. And we're going to talk about that at length in this next spot. I got to take another break. We're going to have more with the doctors of Sheridan Memorial Hospital, Same Day Health and Imaging. Right after this, you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan. Morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital physicians at Same Day Health and Imaging, Dr. David Nickerson and Dr. Christopher Pryor. Breast cancer is the second most common cancer among women in the United States, with certain types of skin cancer being the most common. Same Day Health and Imaging also offers mammography. These screenings Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. I cannot stress enough how important it is to go in and just get a screening. And I think docs, correct me if I'm wrong, but it depends on the age as to how often that should take place. Correct, Dr. Pryor?
Yeah, so usually starting around age 40 is when we'd start thinking about doing some breast cancer screening. I do encourage you to talk to your primary care provider about when is the appropriate time for you. Depending on the person's breast tissue, some are more dense, some less dense, that can influence further follow-up later on, and sometimes even some procedures later on. So I think it is appropriate to have that discussion. But if you find yourself, on the second half of your 40s, 45 to 50, and you haven't had a mammogram, I think it's probably time to start thinking about doing that and consider doing it every other year. That is a service that we offer here, not just at Same Day Health, but also up at Sheridan Memorial Hospital, the main building. You don't need a physician's order to have that done. So certainly as a follow-up, you could just say, hey, it's been a year or it's been 2 years. It's time for me to go have my mammogram. And you could just call them directly and schedule that. You could also come into our clinic down on Same Day Health and get your mammogram there and schedule it down there as well.
When it comes to the big C word, a lot of people don't like talking about it. And that's something that we were talking about offline. It is no longer just a death sentence anymore, though. We can get ahead of this, especially if we find it early, correct, Doc?
That's right. In many cases, that is the case. Finding some kind of cancer earlier rather than later can make a huge difference in the treatments that are available, as well as keeping that from progressing.
Now, a lot of this, there are certain types of cancer that are hereditary, and I believe that breast cancer is one of them, correct?
Correct.
So if I were to have it in my family, I would probably recommend to the females in my family, once they hit 40, maybe once a year, maybe even more, or?
Once again, I'd recommend on speaking with their primary care provider about that. They should certainly have their screening about when they begin and how often. That would depend on their breast type. And also, if they have that strong of a family history, I would certainly consider doing genetic testing, the BRCA gene, see if that's prevalent, and then that would certainly increase their surveillance to at least yearly, and may even consider doing other procedures to help prevent getting breast cancer. So.
Doc, how much out of my day, and I know it seems like a kind of a trivial question to ask in the face of such an issue, but how long out of my day is this going to take if I go in and get this done? Well, maybe not me, but...
Well, we hope that we could move you in and out there as quickly as possible. So for those scheduled appointments, I've been able to certainly move people in and out of there. They show up 15 minutes ahead of time. The appointment is usually about 20, 25 minutes So we hope to get you out of there within 45 minutes. On the walk-in basis, we try to do even less than that. Some of our testing, and people are aware when they come in, we'll let them know, hey, this is how long this test takes to get that result, and this is what we're concerned about, and that's why we think it's appropriate for you to have that test. So sometimes we do have to wait 20 minutes just to get a test result, but they have a definitive diagnosis before they leave there, which helps us solidify a clinical plan how to manage that. So
yeah, that's one of our big goals for patients whenever we can in same-day health is to hopefully be able to give them a definitive answer before they leave. So to that end, while we also have testing through the hospital laboratory, we also have some point-of-care testing that's there. That means laboratory tests that we can run right there in the clinic to try to have the shortest delay possible. And that has some advantages in certain cases. For instance, if somebody is sick and they're wondering if they have the flu, we can grab that flu swab right there, run it on our machine there, and then have an answer in 20 minutes for them.
Wow. About,
yes, you do, and here's your prescription for Tamiflu if you wanted that, or no, it's not the flu.
When it comes to procedures for males, is it prostate or colon cancer that kind of gets us more than the other?
So it's a two-sided question there. So the incidence would be much higher in prostate cancer. If you live long enough and you have a prostate, there's a good chance you're going to have prostate cancer. The advantage of prostate cancer, it's a very slow-growing cancer. So it really is when a person becomes symptomatic, so they become obstructed and have a tough time urinating, period. I still recommend screening for my patients because we're in America, and I think people should know whether or not they should retire, whether they're going to have a problem. They're entitled to know, and some people will get tested, some people won't. Colon cancer is probably the next one, and that is one that early detection certainly could save your life. So yeah. I have a family history. I had a brother that passed away of colon cancer, and unfortunately he was diagnosed at a young age of 43, and he at that time it was stage 4 cancer. He was given a year to survive, and he ended up living another 3 years. He died at 46, but that is something. I know a lot of people are apprehensive about testing, but I certainly encourage it. For the people that don't have a family history, they don't necessarily have to go through that full colonoscopy, drink that stuff, and makes them do things that they don't want to do, and then have somebody drive them in. I do think that the ColoGuard is another testing, looking for DNA in their poop, and it's pretty easy thing to do, and that certainly is a great screening tool. It's about 92% accurate, so only 8% chance they could miss something. So as opposed to a colonoscopy, which is 100% sensitive, I do think that's a great screening tool for people that don't have a family history. For other people like myself or other people that are having, if they happen to have any problems, they're having some bleeding or they see a change in their stool, we have surgeons up at the hospital, our Bighorn Surgical, they do colonoscopies there. And then we do refer to some of the local providers that do come up and do colonoscopies in Sheridan County to screen for colon cancer. That is certainly one that I really recommend that people have done.
Is there an age on that that you would say, hey, once you hit this, maybe head on in?
So it used to be at 50, and they decreased the age down to the screening of 45. I do think that in the short run, that probably will end up decreasing as we're seeing a higher incidence of colon cancer in younger people and these people that can be treated. Unfortunately, we're seeing an increased incidence of cancer in younger people regardless.
And, yeah.
So I do recommend screening, and that's one thing. Even in same-day health, when we see people, we still try to screen to make sure that some of those preventative tasks remind them of when they need to get those things done.
And that's something I've had conversations with other doctors that I've had on here. Seeing cancer in younger-aged individuals, do they – I know there's a lot of – various medical journals and having to keep up on all this new information, but do they have any kind of theory whatsoever on this?
I do think there's a lot of potential. I mean, we'll go back to Dave and I both from the geology standpoint.
Yeah.
I do think there is a lot of environmental impact as well as a genetic impact about what a person can be exposed to and what that can set them up for later in life. I think we're starting to see a whole lot more of that. I think that you're going to be hearing more and more about that. I always thought that I'd make a connection between the environment and health. And, you know, where I grew up, You know, we certainly had a lot of incidents of, I grew up in New York, not too far from Lyme, Connecticut, where we had Lyme disease. So that was pretty common, environmental influence there. And then in certain parts of the country, our drinking water isn't as good a quality as it is elsewhere. And so there's a number of things that impact it that way.
Yeah. One of the big ones for around here is definitely skin exposure, leading to skin cancers. And that's actually something that we can take care of the early stages of that, or figuring out whether or not something is a precancerous lesion or not. Right there in Same Day Health, both Dr. Pryor and I can remove skin lesions that we are concerned about and send them for a biopsy. We've definitely had times in the past where we have removed something for somebody. It has come back showing that it is cancerous, but that we have clear borders around the whole thing, meaning we got the entire lesion, and that's likely to be all somebody ever has to have done about it as well, which is a wonderful thing for patients.
And a lot of that is, say, like moles that behave in unusual ways, correct? If I remember right, anything bigger than the size of a pencil eraser, you should probably go in and even just have a doctor take a quick look at it and tell you, hey, you know, let's take care of this or let's not. I'll admit myself, I've got a few on me that I should probably have someone look at. I've also been told that they're just big pieces of dry skin, so who knows? But, you know, sure. You need to go in and take care of that, because if it is something, cancer is something you need to get ahead of.
That's right. And here at Shared Memorial, we have that Welch Cancer Center, and Dr. Radiman and Dr. Kim really do a fantastic job. And Nina Beach, I mean, I really enjoy working with them.
Absolutely. They do great care for the patients in our community with cancer.
I got about 3 minutes left. Dr. Nickerson, is there anything you would like people to know about Same Day Health and Imaging that we haven't talked about?
Well, sure. I think one of the big things is that we are really just there to try to make things more convenient for patients. So if you're in the situation where you're not quite sure where to start to try to figure something out, or you haven't been able to get into where you're trying to get in, or you're not quite sure whether you should be, you know, concerned about something or not, Same Day Health and Imaging is a great place to start. You know, we have people there with pretty broad expertise. We also are really well acquainted with all the other healthcare resources in our community, as well as, you know, the other healthcare providers that are here. It's easy for us to get people hooked into where they need to be, and it's a really great starting place for any of those.
Dr. Pryor?
I agree. I mean, it really is a place where, even though you're going to one particular building, and I consider our building, I really encourage people to come and look at it. It really embraces the community. We have pictures of Sheridan County throughout the offices, and our manager, Katie Claybaugh, has done a great job, you know, setting up that clinic, and it really should feel like your hometown clinic. And as going to that hometown clinic, we can get you connected with all the services that we have at the hospital in a really expedient way. I really think that, and you really feel like you have a team, because when you go see that specialist, they already know everything that that has been done. So they say, oh, well, Dr. Pryor said this, or Dr. Nickerson said this, or Wyatt or Claire. And they say, oh, yeah, we already know about that. So it's really, it makes you feel comfortable. Like we've talked about other healthcare settings, about just feeling comfortable when you walk in there. And that's one of the things that makes you feel at ease, where they already know everything about you.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And in other situations that would be uncomfortable, but in this situation, it makes you feel really good.
That's correct.
You've got a team on your side who are going to help take care of you. Docs, I greatly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to come in and speak with me. It is always a pleasure having you guys on the show, and you are welcome back whenever you'd like.
Thanks again, Floyd. We have an opening on Thursday at 9 if you're
interested. You might end up seeing me. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.